we're going to get right to it. And understanding what we surround ourselves is so important. We are participating in different teams according to subject matter, topics, and expertise. Some of the things we surround ourselves with are aligned with places or people or activities. But there are a few overwhelming and overarching things to surround ourselves, regardless of the subject matter, topic, or expertise, regardless of the position we're playing on that team. All of them need forgiveness. In the fast-paced world of our personal lives, business, leadership, and development, the ability to forgive is often overlooked as one of the most critical skills, because it is the skill set that allows us to be at ease. And when we are at ease, we are accessing the all-knowing, the omniscient, all of that information we have access to, and the all-powerful, all of that power we have access to. And the more at ease we are, the more information we can receive, the more truth that we can have, the more awareness that we are capable of utilizing, but also the more energy. And both of these things are extremely good to accelerate, aggregate, and compound the outcomes that we desire in our lives or better. Yet forgiveness is not just about letting go of past wrongs that others have done or we have done. It's a powerful tool for growth, resilience, and success. Holding on to resentment, blame, shame, and justification creates interference. It creates an energy in motion, an emotion, and a mental burden that will absolutely interfere with the omniscient and the all-powerful, the information that you need, the awareness that you need to be productive, to be creative, to be collaborative. By embracing the mindset, heartset, and handset of forgiveness, utilizing forgiveness as a skill to get more information and more power, we free ourselves from the negative energy and allow ourselves to have deeper and more powerful connections, clear decision-making, and a greater capacity to use our detours to navigate our challenges and struggles into the divine direction in which we desire or better. The first lesson of surrounding ourselves with forgiveness is the nature of forgiveness itself. Understanding forgiveness helps us to reframe all of the morality that exists in the conscious world and does not exist in the subconscious. The judgments of comparison and comparative analysis that may be influenced by our societal and cultural shifts, the time, emotion, and value changes throughout time. Take some things that we used to give the death penalty to, like marijuana. Three-time losers would put somebody into prison for life. And now, in most states, it's perfectly legal under some capacity. Moral judgments exist in the conscious level. They don't exist in the subconscious or unconscious competency. So they create interference between the all-knowing and all-powerful by utilizing our own personal perspective and society's rules in which to facilitate more blame, more shame, and more justification. When we free ourselves, understanding the nature of forgiveness, that it exists only at a conscious level, because at a subconscious and unconscious level, we don't condemn. We utilize a storage facility of information taken from our cellular memory and access of that omniscient, all-knowing, and all-powerful. When we're capable of elevating our awareness to see the mistakes through the lens of light, love, and lessons, to grow rather than to interfere or constrict through judgment, condition, comparison, blame, shame, and justification, defined in some dogmatic principles as sin, we create more than the empathy and the collaboration allows. We create an interference. We constrict the knowledge. We constrict the energy and wonder why we either don't end up where we want to be or better, or why we accelerate into the wrong direction. Forgiving others becomes easier and easier, understanding the nature of forgiveness when we can acknowledge the time, emotion, and value changing, the evolving nature of morality in the conscious level, and understand the potential for acceleration, aggregation, and compounding growth in every experience that we elect and select to pursue. When we examine our biases, our conscious biases about what constitutes wrongdoing, in the reaction to the wrongdoing, the reaction to fear, and recognize the societal and cultural influences that are surrounding ourselves, we can adopt a higher perspective, a higher level of awareness of the omniscient, all that information, and the all-powerful, all of that energy. When we see the errors of part of our human experience, our human journey, in an infinite pursuit of the divine, not a permanent moral failing, a sin, a comparative condition, a judgment of blame, shame, and justification for a human experience. Where do we start with the nature of forgiveness? We start with self, because the only certainty exists within us besides the certainty of time outside of us. So we start with self-forgiveness, because we can't give what we don't have. When we can identify and shorten the distance of resistance created by the reaction to this fear of blame, shame, and justification, and release the guilt, that makes it easier to extend the grace. Release the guilt and extend the grace through self-forgiveness, because we can't give what we don't have. Understanding the nature of forgiveness exists in a morality that is only existing and evolving in a moral state, a conscious state of mind, allowing the subconscious to be repetitive in its nature, to understand forgiveness in the ease and access that it provides to the omniscient and all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-energetic way of getting to where we want to do and be and become. Lesson two is understanding the nature of forgiveness. We now have to shift our perspective on sin. Like I said, in most dogmatic principles and theories and perspectives, we condemn others and ourselves with the wrongdoings and mistakes that we make, even though it's not the mistakes that will stop us from getting to the divine and pursuing the divine direction. It's the lack of faith, the lack of commitment that actually stops us or interferes most. What we perceive as we shift this perspective as a moral contribution, a moral failing, a moral interference, a societal condition, rather than pursuing an objective, quantitative truth. We need to understand that shifting our perspective from this moral aptitude into a objective truth of an enlightenment, of forgiveness combined with the ability to learn, utilizing the human experience and the body we're given in order to learn those lessons that will keep on coming until we learn them. This allows us to release the moral reaction to mistakes, which is judgment, comparison. It is judgment and comparison that condemns us. It is the drain of joy and fear. It will absolutely interfere with our ease. So we need to embrace a forgiving and empathetic mindset, heart set, and handset. Sin, as we have been taught in a moral realm, is often a societal construct rather than an absolute. It evolves, it changes. Every decision that we make, every opportunity that we agree upon or disagree upon, it changes immediately when we come to that agreement and when we come to that decision. The same holds true when we come to that judgment. And when we come to a judgment instantaneously, time, emotion, and value changes, which means the criteria in which we judge changes, which means there is no morality within the truth of the construct of the moral sin. Recognizing this enables a deeper empathetic perspective and understanding, not a need to change. When we take and judge or compare the thief of joy and instead try to change it, if we utilize understanding, awareness, and empathy in order to facilitate a greater ability to align, coordinate, collaborate, and communicate with it, through the ease of those characteristics, we can have more information through the omniscient and more energy through the all-powerful. We need to question the rigid moral judgments that people have and examine how they have evolved over time and how they will evolve in the future. With an ignorant humility, not an ignorant arrogance. What is the difference between ignorant arrogance and ignorant humility? Is that ignorant humility is in forgiveness, that we have our opinions, we have our judgment, but we know that we don't know what we don't know. And so we don't have a scarce fear-based decision or judgment, and yet we don't condemn. And so an ignorant, arrogant person, and look, these people are not just the haters of the world. These people are the people that love you the most, because those people are more afraid for you than they are for themselves. And so in the aspect of ignorant arrogance, a fear-based judgment, a condemnation of advice is based off of fear and does not allow the perpetrator to admit that they don't know what they don't know. And so they will tell you, you need to do this, go to college, or, you know, get this type of job, or do whatever it is that they think will be the safest thing for you to do, the most stable thing for you to do. So in the aspect of understanding how we shift our perspective of sin, judgment, condemnation, and how we utilize the ease to access information and power, we need to distinguish between the accountability of learning lessons through being responsible, learning lessons by attracting the things that we want to ourselves, and to participate in the perspective so that we can learn the lessons to shift our perspective in an ever-evolving judgment condition in the condemnation that occurs through sin that necessitates forgiveness. When we distinguish between accountability and condemnation, we hold people responsible in their actions, attractions, and perspective. And it doesn't mean that we define them with a snapshot of a past mistake. People evolve. Time, emotion, and value changes. And we can elevate our awareness and make a decision on the relativity, association, bleeding, and feeding aspect of that relationship. But we cannot define them by a past mistake. We can mitigate our risk with other people that have made past mistakes or have repetitively made the same past mistake, but we cannot define them by those mistakes. And I think this is an important distinguishment in how we have to shift our perspective on those we surround ourselves with and surrounding ourselves with forgiveness, because we don't forgive those people for their past mistakes because they deserve it. It's because we deserve it, and we are accountable to make a decision moving forward to mitigate our risk according to our timing and risk tolerance of whether that person, according to their relativity, their association to us, and how much we are fed by the bleeding and feeding relationship that we have in order to facilitate a prioritization of the access of information and energy that we want in our lives. In other words, I am, what am I doing to interfere with it? Am I surrounding myself with the right people, ideas, places, situations with forgiveness as a characteristic or skill to give me the information and the energy that I need in order to facilitate the acceleration, aggregation, and compounding of what I want or better in the divine direction that I want to be in or better, or I think I want to be in or better. So when we practice non-judgment inherent within forgiveness by seeking to understand rather than to define or change others or label others based off of their past mistakes. One of the key things that I do is when somebody makes a mistake, perpetrates condemnation or attack onto me, I ask myself, have I ever done that before myself? And it eases the pain and allows me to forgive and take accountability in the condemnation of my fear that these people are just like me. They are human. And I have done that in the past. And therefore, why am I condemning them for their mistakes? I will not define others by their mistakes. I will judge them or prioritize them according to others in my past, according to my snapshots and my experiences aligned with relativity association and how much I'm being fed by the feeding and bleeding of them. Now we're getting to lesson three, the power of forgiveness. You can see how forgiveness changes the mindset, heart set, and handset from the condemnation to understanding to collaboration, coordination, and inspiration instead of conflict and interference. Forgiveness relieves our mental, our spiritual, our emotional, and physical burdens. It fosters this ease, this inner peace, and the certainty of I am, what am I doing to interfere with it? And it strengthens the relativity of everything around us, like I mentioned, the people, places, things, ideas, situations, and events. It enhances our ability to be committed to the non-negotiable, negotiable behaviors that make us pursue our potential at the acceleration and aggregation and compounding effects that it has in the coinciding coincidences that we desire are better. And it allows these individuals to move forward instead of remaining in interference or accelerating in the wrong direction and feeling stuck by past mistakes and conflicts and definitions of people, places, and situations and events that are unwarranted because of the evolution of time, emotion, and value, the uncertainty of the future, even in the man-made construct, the God's guarantee of the linear time frame in which we all exist outside of us, the 24 hours that we're given, guaranteed every day of our life, except for the last day of your life, you'll be cheated seconds, minutes, and hours. A professional person who once held grudges against colleagues now embraces forgiveness leads to better teamwork, collaboration, coordination, and career growth. Once again, we do not define anyone personally or professionally by their past mistakes. We make a choice to prioritize by emotional expense, by physical expense, whatever it is, aligned with the timing and risk tolerance in that relationship. And the three criteria which I suggest you use is how relative is this person who's made these past mistakes? What is the association with that person who's made these past mistakes? And how much am I being fed from the bleeding and feeding of their past mistakes and their constructive behaviors as well. Forgiveness is an act of freedom. It is an act of freedom, of self-liberation. It clears interference. It shortens the distance, not only complementing the wisdom that's necessary in order to shorten the distance of resistance, but the faith in two things, two capabilities of your source, whatever that be, God, Muhammad, Jesus, Joseph Smith, Buddha, whatever you believe in that's bigger than you, that loves you more than your mom, the two capabilities of your source to make you a better resource is omniscience, all-knowing, and all-powerful. And the more we can access the all-knowing and access the all-powerful, obviously, the better off it is for all of us. So it eases us, it releases us from the past and opens the door of all that we're given. It is a tool, gratitude and forgiveness, into the infinite loop of giving so that we don't just rely upon if we give more, we will receive more. No, if you give more, you will be given more. And it's through gratitude and forgiveness that elevates our awareness when there's no evidence that we're being given anything other than punishment, or the evidence is clear we're being punished, or the evidence is contrary to where we want to be or better, and we feel as if we're being punished. It is forgiveness and gratitude that allows us to see all that we're given in this opportunity that others can't see, and then even allow us to help facilitate the worthiness to receive it and ask for more within the context of shortening the distance and enhancing the wisdom and faith that's necessary to shorten the distance of resistance that we create in interfering with the infinite loop of giving of the omniscient and all-powerful gifts that we are given. It is self-liberating. It is freedom that we receive through the power of forgiveness. When we reframe forgiveness as a tool that gives us personal freedom rather than condemnation and concession of others, we now can access that information, access that power and that energy in order to facilitate the acceleration, aggregation, and compounding the outcomes that we desire in the divine direction or better that we think we want each and every day, either according to the circumstances of the day and the meaning of the past, or according to simply what's most important to us as a non-negotiable, like our sleep and our health and our family and our finance and our faith and our relativity studies and our time studies. When we use the mindset, heart set, and hand set, this package of mindfulness that allows us to practice to let go of condemnation and resentment that interferes with our potential and the access of information and power, and allows us to focus with clarity, harmony, and focus, to allow for concession, for collaboration and coordination of others. And now the opportunities are abundant. There's more than enough, not only for us, but for everyone. And now our biggest challenge becomes prioritization, not condemnation or interference. We can foster a culture of forgiveness and gratitude hand in hand to create leaders, intelligent followers that encourage open communication, collaboration, coordination, dialogue, and the pursuit of lessons through accountability of responsibility, attraction, and participation in a perception of forgiveness. Lesson four, what are some of the misconceptions about forgiveness? Forgiveness is often misunderstood, because we want to forgive others and don't understand that we can't give what we don't have, and that the certainty of forgiveness lies within us, not outside of us. Many believe that forgiveness means excusing a bad behavior, but it's not. There is no excuse other than human nature for bad behavior. It's about releasing yourself from the emotional interference and burdens that you placed upon yourself from your own fear of condemnation of self and of others. True forgiveness does not remove the accountability of others, the same as it doesn't remove the accountability for self. Accountability itself gives us control through the lessons that we learn in the responsibility of the activity, the attraction in the activity, and the participation and perception of the activity, which we can't control in others. But it does allow us to move in a divine direction, making the detour of the mistake divine in its nature, and allowing the infinite loop of divine time to facilitate the more that we give, the more we're given, the more we receive, and the more we can ask for more than more. And so in the aspect of the misconception of condemnation, that forgiveness excuses the accountability of others, it actually releases us from that burden and provides us more information and awareness and more energy and power to get to where we want to be or better, to move forward, not backwards or in the wrong direction or where we don't want to be or we don't think we want to be. It provides us to have more good behavior. Good behavior defined as behavior that gets us to where we want to be or better, or where we think we want to be or better, and bad behavior interferes with it. Forgiving other people is actually a bad behavior of bad behavior. Forgiving ourselves for not understanding somebody else's bad behavior in the context of being human is actually the combination and interference that stops us from getting where we want to be or better, or actually accelerates us in the wrong direction. It's forgiveness and accountability that needs to coexist, our own accountability and allowing other people to be accountable for what they have done and the mistakes that they have made as well. It's possible to set a framework and boundaries while choosing not to dwell on guilt and resentment of other people's bad behavior and concentrate on our good behavior, which is inclusive of forgiving other people's bad behavior and understanding that they are human the same as us, and we must forgive ourselves, because the majority of things that we blame or we live in shame or we justify or things that we've done ourselves in the past. And now somebody has remembered and recollected us with our bad behaviors of the past, and we feel resentment. So we then project that resentment into some sort of condemnation or blame on the other person instead of forgiving ourselves and extending that to others and releasing and freeing ourselves and not having a misconception that we are excusing others and not holding ourselves accountable or allowing them to do the same by their own choice. We need to differentiate between forgiveness and enabling others. You can forgive without tolerating harmful behavior. We have the right to be accountable for who and what and where and how we surround ourselves with and applying our why. Like I said before, we can forgive without tolerating or prioritizing others who, through the relativity that we have with them, the associations that we have with them, and the awareness of the patterns of the feeding and bleeding and how much that feeds us, we can choose to allow others just to fall away or fire them from our lives and still forgive them and try to understand them and pray for their happiness. Because if they were happy, they probably would not have made that mistake or condemned you or attacked you or done what they did. You can hold people accountable without resenting them or feeling guilty by focusing in on the understanding and the empowerment of tools that you can provide to them to create constructive, collaborative, coordinated resolution, resolution to a past mistake. If necessary under the linear construct of time, because there's so many options, opportunities, and touches in favor of people that you want to surround yourself with. And if you decide that it's not worth it, then just let them fall away or fire them from your life, whether it's personal or professional. That's why I created a column of emotional expense, because there are people around me that are very relative and I have association with, but the feeding and bleeding that occurs in our relationship is not feeding me anymore enough because the emotional expense is so high. When we adopt a long-term linear perspective aligned with the infinite forgiving perspective, it is forgiveness that will foster lasting personal and professional relationships through the transparency of the understanding of the past mistakes, not defining them by that snapshot of past mistakes, and cultivating according to our prioritization in those relationships, the what, the who, the how, and applying our why and do the now. The final lesson for today in surrounding ourselves with forgiveness, and once again, if you'd like the training guide to this, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. In order to cultivate a forgiving mindset, this is a practice. Remind yourself that in order to me to get better at anything, and as I coach so many people and help so many people the best that I can, they'll ask me, Dave, how do I get better at this? My answer is always the same: practice. Practice, make it a non-negotiable, assign time to it every single day in a non-negotiable manner in order to effectuate the conscious continuum, including forgiveness. Cultivate a forgiving mindset, heart set, and hand set. A forgiving mindset, heart set, and hand set fosters mental, physical, and spiritual clarity, resilience, harmony, and peace. Letting go of the interference, the anger, the frustration, the resentment, the guilt, the judgment allows for more information from your source and more energy from your source, which will create more creativity, collaboration, coordination, and acceleration, aggregation, which will eventually compound exponentially the results that you want, the coincidences that you want, the unbelievable consequences that you want called success or better. I see this in sales all the time. A sales executive who holds grudges now uses forgiveness to build stronger client relationship and close more deals. When we have a need to be offended, a need to interfere with our greater success in an economic, monetary way, a materialized way, we don't see all that we're given. We cut off the options, opportunities, and touches of favor by having a closed mind ourselves. It's one thing to try to re-engineer a closed mind of others, since there's a total dress of a community and opportunities that are abundant, especially today with technology and the capability that we have in order to contact people in person, on the phone, via email, media, social, traditional, doesn't matter. But most people don't even realize that they themselves, when they're selling without forgiveness and gratitude, have a closed mind. And if you think statistically trying to sell a closed mind, try selling with one. I can't tell you how many people that I see that have a narcissistic tendency of a closed mind when they're selling, and the remarkable ignorant arrogance that occurs when they do so. Forgiveness is a daily practice that you need to understand and assign a non-negotiable amount of time, a minimum amount of time every day, that will create the space for you to see and have the energy for all that you're given, for new opportunities, healthier relationships, and of course, growth personally and professionally. The growth that will accelerate you in a divine direction to where you think you want to be or better will aggregate all of the resources to you as a resource of the source of information and energy, allowing you to create exponentiality in your life, which others will be amazed in the mathematical impact and effect and effect of exponentiality of outcomes. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, etc., and so on. Practice every day by assigning a minimum amount of time every day, making it a non-negotiable that's non-circumstantial, no matter what the weather is, the mortgage rates are, or if somebody's visiting in town. Practice daily reflection. Reflect all and deflect all to forgive ourselves of the human experience of making mistakes, not to identify ourselves or others by the mistakes of the past, but simply to utilize it as information and energy in which you want to assess with relativity association and, of course, the feeding and bleeding aspect of how it impacts you emotionally, physically, spiritually, and mentally. Identify any lingering resentment, guilt that you may have, and intentionally forgive it. Release it. Give yourself more ease, clear the interference, shorten the distance of resistance to the omniscient, unbelievable amount of information and awareness, the all-powerful, unbelievable amount of energy. Surround yourself with forgiving people. See who you want to be like and ask them for help, and surround yourself on a forgiving team and play a position on that team according to the other people on that forgiving team to reinforce the support that you need of a judgment-free, unconditional mindset, heartset, and handset. A lot of times we feel as if family is the best place to find that, but it's not, because of the past snapshots that have been held against us as an identity instead of within the realm of forgiveness. Focusing on the solutions and the re-solutions rather than blame, shame, and justification. Clear or channel the information and energy that is accessible by you through gratitude and forgiveness, seeking the wisdom, the light, the love, and the lesson, but also forgiving the light, the love, and the lessons as well that you find from the snapshots of the past, by not identifying yourself or others by that, but evaluating it with time, emotion, and value changing with the relativity association and, of course, the feeding and bleeding that you feed from. Digress through forgiveness. Progress, clear the interference, shorten the distance, accelerate in the right direction with good behavior, and minimize the bad behavior or the interference of past grievances, blame, shame, and justification. Cultivate a forgiving mindset, heartset, and handset. I promise the acceleration will occur. Some final insights on surrounding yourself with forgiveness. Embrace forgiveness, and it leads to stronger relativity in your life of people, places, things, events, and circumstances. It creates a greater resilience and commitment to enjoy the everyday, consistent, without quit, persistent pursuit of your truth, your potential from the omniscient and all-powerful that will create a lasting impact on your pursuits of what you desire. It'll make all of those desires in the directional divine, all of the detours of those mistakes through forgiveness divine, and allow through forgiveness divine time to show the relativity association and feeding and bleeding that's necessary to get to where you want to be or better. It will shift you personally and professionally and the environments that you surround yourself with to understand ignorant arrogance and ignorant humility, fear-based or not fear-based, growth-oriented behaviors to progress to where you want to be or better. Have a company and be the company that once had to blame everyone and everything, including cultural shifts, to learn and instead forgive, leading innovation and increased retention through forgiveness. Forgiveness is a skill. It's a strategic advantage in life and business. It cultivates trust, inspires us with loyalty, and fuels long-term success. It is a core value, forgiveness of mine, with gratitude, accountability, and inspiration. Making forgiveness this core value of leadership, of personal and business relationships, it will allow the defining moments of the mistakes that you've made. Those setbacks will become the setups, the stepping stones, not an identity of failure. Embrace the ongoing nature, the evolution of time, emotion, and value in the context of forgiveness. It's not a one-time act, but a practice of behavior every single day to get to where you want to be or better. Know the nature of forgiveness. Understand the subconscious and unconscious morality. Shift your perspective of sin. Allow the objective truth and forgiveness of the truth of not comparing and utilizing comparison as a thief of joy. Know the power of forgiveness. Understand the misconception that it is not excusing bad behavior, but most importantly, cultivate the mindset, heart set, and hand set that forgiveness allows. And I promise you, in the context of gratitude, to give you a perspective, when you find the light, the love, and the lessons of all that you're given, you will find mistakes as well, your own and others, that need to cultivate this forgiving mindset, heart set, and hand set to put you at ease, to access in accountability and inspired action the omniscient and all-powerful. The more information you have, the greater your awareness, and the more energy you have in the right trajectory, the divine direction, making all of your detours divine through forgiveness and allowing for divine time. I promise you will make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. This has been the Surround Yourself with Forgiveness training. If you like the guide, please email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Guides and exercises available for free, along with my book, Surround Yourself with Forgiveness, david@dmeltzer.com. We're going to take a few questions. Nick Awam is still here. He's rocking and rolling early on a Wednesday morning. Sir Wamness, the well-oiled machine, why don't you go ahead, reset the room, and we'll take the first question, if that sounds fair.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, David, for a great, we'll call it about almost three full quarters of a training today. So thank you for the Surround Yourself with Forgiveness training. And as a quick reset of the room, everybody, we are transitioning now into the Q&A. I'm going to start off with Mr. Brian Swift. Brian, it's great to see you, sir. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask the first question of the day.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for this opportunity. So, Dave, one question I get asked a lot, and I just want to see if kind of what I'm saying aligns with what you just taught us about. I get asked a lot about how do you let go of. So for me, I broke my neck over 40 years ago, but a lot of people ask, how did you let go of, and insert anything that could be, how do you let go of losing the relationship, not getting the promotion, whatever. And I find it's less about letting go and more about letting be. And if, just for now, you can just let it be the way it is. Just let it be, because I believe, I find that peace is to be found regardless of circumstance. And try to have this intimate relationship with reality by being present in the moment. And I just feel, I guess I'm committed to where I want to go. And now I can be responsible for my life and not a victim of my circumstance.
Yeah, well, I love that philosophy of let it be. I think letting it be is aligned with the stop, drop, and go philosophy. When you understand that to let something go takes logic and analysis. And unfortunately, what we want to let go is not in the realm or frequency of logic and analysis. It's in the realm of emotion because it's upsetting us. It's a reaction to fear. It's a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, guilty, resentful. Whatever it may be, that feeling is an emotion. And that emotion is interfering with the inspiration and the direction that we want to be in. And so in the aspect of telling people to let it be, you're letting them know that you can't out-logic or out-analyze some emotion. They're not on the same frequency. It'll just sometimes exacerbate the situation and create a greater feeling of that emotion because logic doesn't work and analysis doesn't work. And so in the respect of letting it be, you are aware that there's no evidence or the evidence may be contrary to where you want to be. And you don't actually have to let it go. You do have to let it be. And the best way to let it be is one, to look at the clues and the patterns of how you react to fear, because what you want to let go is the guilt, resentment, frustration, anger, separation, inferiority, superiority, resentment, whatever it may be. That's what you want to let go. You want to let go of the feeling. And you can't go over, under, through, around, lie to, manipulate, cheat, analyze, or out-logic that emotion. So in the aspect of giving the advice, don't let it go, let it be. And the best way to let it be is to identify the clues and the patterns of how I react to fear and have and see which emotion that it is that's interfering with the omniscient and all-powerful that I'm part and parcel to, collaborating, coordinating, accelerating, aggregating, compounding my outcomes accordingly. How do I then let it be? And so the next step in the advice that you're given, Brian, is yes, absolutely, can't let it go. Logic and analyzing it won't work. By letting it be, what I want you to do is stop trying to go over and around it, through it, logic and analyze it, deny it, lie to it, cheat it, just stop. When we let something be, we're at ease. And I want you to stop and breathe through your nose and out through your mouth. And I want you to remember that omniscient and all-powerful. I want you to recollect with the omniscient and all-powerful. I want you to remember with the omniscient and all-powerful. And then when we let it be, we can roll back into the divine direction. And now that detour that we let be becomes one of divine nature and direction as well, promoting us, protecting us, loving us and perfecting us, not interfering with us or punishing us as it was when we tried to let it go and utilize logic and analysis in order to figure out how can I let it go. I can't tell you how many nights when I was in law school that I went to bed so worried and anxious and frustrated, telling myself, let it go, let it go, let it go. And then waking up all night long saying, let it go, let it go, let it go. And then waking up in the morning exhausted saying, let it go, let it go, let it go. Didn't work. If I just would have stopped trying to go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, and deny it. Instead, if I just would have supplied it with the source of omniscient and all-powerful energy by stopping, by letting it be the great advice that you give. And now you have the practice of letting it be. And so does everyone else here by identifying all that we're given through identifying the clues and the patterns of how we react. And when we react, instead of trying to resist, we use the wisdom and faith to stop and drop, breathe, get to ease through gratitude and forgiveness to find the light, the love, and the lessons, and forgive ourselves with the ease of access to the omniscient and all-powerful. Now we're fueled to roll into the divine direction. The detour becomes divine, and divine time allows the evidence that was not there before or even contrary to where we want to be to reveal itself. A revelation, an evolution occurs in the divine that allows us to have those compounding outcomes and impacts that we want to have without accelerating in the wrong direction or creating more resistance by what we resist persists through logic and analysis. Let it be is great advice. Use this stop, drop, and roll in order to facilitate letting it be, and you will have that aggregation, acceleration, and compounding impact. I want to thank all of our private networking group members that are here today. I want to encourage everyone to join the thousands of us that want to help each other and know people that can help each other to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Give myself access to our private group every day, not only for coaching and advice, but for introductions as well. And now we've expanded that to everybody in the group that's helping each other with advice and introductions. It's a collaborative movement that we created. So join our private networking group. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. It's a great neighborhood to belong to. Private neighborhood, so it's a gated community, curated in itself. We are selective. Anyways, you got to want to help people and know people to help people. That's it. All right. Anyway, Nick of WOM, I know you can't get my schedule perfect, but do your best and give me somebody else with a question.
Absolutely. We have the wonderful Colleen up next. So Colleen, great to see you. Happy Wednesday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Happy Wednesday. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Dave. One of the words that really stuck out to me in this training today was the word tolerating. And in the past, you've said that feelings and emotions are different. So when I heard the word tolerating,
that's not what I said, just so you know. Feelings and emotions are the same. Logic is different.
Okay. I was trying to understand a little bit more about the construct of tolerating, which I feel like when you hear that word, it makes you, you're in unease versus working through understanding and learning. So if you could give me that kind of the difference in tolerating versus understanding and learning, and why, you know, tolerating makes you feel uneasy versus learning, where you're just kind of taking the information in at ease.
Yeah. So in the process of tolerating is an understanding and learning. And then the difference is, when we tolerate, after we've understood and learned from somebody's past mistakes, our own or others, toleration includes prioritization according to relativity association and the aspect of, through every relationship comes of feeding and bleeding. We feed and bleed each other in a relationship. How much does that process of feeding and bleeding feed us? And then according to my timing and risk tolerance, how am I going to tolerate or prioritize this relationship, this person, according to the habitual past mistakes, the relativity association, and the feeding and bleeding quantified analysis? So toleration is part and process of the understanding and seeking the lessons through forgiveness. But the tolerating process is one of prioritization according to the relativity association and the feeding and bleeding that is occurring that should be prioritized according to your timing and risk tolerance with the options, opportunities, and touches of favor that you have with other people in your life. Because you only have so much linear time to utilize every day in that 24 hours of guaranteed time. And when you take out the non-negotiables from that, and then you have variant behaviors that are based off of the circumstances of the day, which are inclusive of the mistakes that you make and other people make. Now we have to have a process that's called tolerating to figure out, how am I going to prioritize according to the meaning of the past mistakes that they've made and I've made, according to the relativity association and feeding and bleeding aspect of what I do, how am I going to prioritize or tolerate the relationship I have with my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, the people who work with me, et cetera.
Awesome. I appreciate that.
No, great questions. Thank you.
Beautiful. And up next here on Clubhouse, we have Sean Clark, who's been patiently waiting. So Sean, it's great to see you here, my friend. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Love it. Thank you so much. Wishing everyone well. So I'm an employee in an organization. I have the outlook of my boss. If I were to ask for a way to provide value and to be compensated for that, that they would think that I'm trying to bite the hand that feeds me. What's the proper outlook or view or perspective to have in that situation?
Well, number one, I would practice articulating a quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for. For me, understanding the opportunity that I have, if I'm seeking to make more money doing what I'm doing today, then I better be equipped and well rehearsed in understanding. Tell me what's going on today as a whole, right? Because in a business aspect, you have to quantify and articulate the quantified value that you're bringing aligned with the timing and risk tolerance of the bosses or the business that you work within. And so there's only so much you can ask for according to the resources that are available and also the marketplace that's available. So a lot of people will overestimate their value because they don't take into context the timing and risk tolerance of the business that they work for or the marketplace that exists. I may feel that, you know, I'm of great value because I can create websites and the person's, you know, paying me $2,000 a month to maintain a website, but I can get a VA to do it for $750 a month. And I want it $3,000 a month because I do such a great job and I see the impact of the website, but that doesn't relate to the marketplace of the website. And so, you know, you have to understand a few other criteria when you're asking for more money. And two of the things that you need to have knowledge of is the timing and risk tolerance of the people that are providing you that opportunity, and two, what the marketplace is. Because although you may have great impact and great relativity and great profitability within the company and great performance, the marketplace may not justify you getting a raise. And so you now have to be able to either assess what else you can do aligned with value that you can provide with the skills, knowledge, and desires that you have internally or externally within the organization. And so people make that mistake all the time. One, they don't practice articulating a quantitative value to exceed what they're asking for. Two, they have no knowledge of the timing and risk tolerance of the organization that they work with. And three, they don't understand the marketplace. So why would someone in the context of business overpay if you can't articulate why they should overpay in that marketplace? And so it's not just a vacuum of, hey, you know, and I'll have employees come to me and say, I'm worth, you know, way more than you're paying me. And I'll agree. You're absolutely, absolutely. I don't have one person, nor would I have one person working with me that's not worth more than I'm paying them. But take into consideration the timing and risk tolerance of the business that we have, and two, the marketplace for the skills, knowledge, and desire that you have. And why would I pay more if the marketplace already is far less than I'm paying you? I've already taken into consideration the experience that you have, the effort that you put in. I tell people all the time, the salary I give you is for what you're doing today in the marketplace aligned with the timing and risk tolerance of the business and what you've done in the past. I give extra credibility to the people that have worked for me for 10 years to overpay them for what I could replace them for because of that exponentiality. But it still falls within the context of the timing and risk tolerance. And then, of course, to understand their ability to articulate a value or apply their skills, knowledge, and desire to somewhere else. Now, also, I've taken into consideration now the column of emotional expense, because sometimes, although someone has an amazing value, it is diminished greatly by the emotional expense that it's costing me comparatively to what I'm paying them and the profitability that is occurring. So if you're going to ask for more money, Sean, make sure you take into consideration, one, a well-rehearsed way of articulating your value to exceed what you're asking for in the context of understanding the timing and risk tolerance and the marketplace that you exist in order to effectuate a greater understanding and alignment with what you're asking for. Does that sound fair?
Very fair. I appreciate you. Thank you again, guys.
You got it, man. Thank you. Nick, we have time for one more question.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go ahead and take this last question from online. We have Rick who is asking, how would you teach your kids empathy and forgiveness?
I would say, how do I teach my kids empathy? Not would I, because there's four things that I teach my personal and my professional kids. And you know this, Nick, because you're one of my professional kids. And we know that there's four things that I teach: gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication. And there's only one way to teach it, and that's to be annoying. So how am I annoying in teaching gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication? Well, you can ask any of my kids, personal and professional. I got one kid who's both personal and professional because she works with me. Her name's Marissa, and she's here. So I'm doubly annoying to Marissa. And so you have to be annoying to teach your kids. One, that means repetitive. Repetitive with your actions, words, thoughts, beliefs, and feelings in order to illustrate gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication. And then two, you have to be honest. You have to be honest about your own experiences and what you've learned with humility, transparency, and vulnerability. But you have to be honest with them of what you're thinking, saying, doing, feeling, and believing in the context of your evaluation and understanding of where they are today and where they want to be or think that they want to be through gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication. And so as a requirement, that's why people in my personal and professional life are encouraged strongly in me being annoying to show up to Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. To show up every day consistently, persistently in the pursuit of understanding and elevating their awareness of gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication. I know that if I can teach and continue to teach and empower my children, professional children and personal children, with gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication, that will be the foundation in which they can utilize in their own divine direction, allowing detours to become divine and allowing divine time to give them the acceleration, aggregation, and compounding of outcomes that I've had in my life and others have had in theirs. If anybody would like those exercises on gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication, it's in my book, and I'll be more than happy to give that to you as well. David@dmeltzer.com. Remember, again, we are blessed. Join us every day, David@dmeltzer.com. Be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.